friends to Occultist Anonymous and our Mage's Awakening Chronicle Into the West. Shut up, all of you, shut up. Shout out to all those who like, comment, follow, subscribe, and support us. Special shout out to our patrons: 1D4 Con James, Adele, Alice, Alexander, Alstrit, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, George, I'm Lonely, Hi Lonely, I'm Dad, Cat Feathers, Klaus, Milo V3, Moku, Mozart D minor, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Foog, Polka Dot, Hubris, Puppeteer, Riafio, Shexar, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, Verhex, and Vortex. Thank you all so much for your support. When we last left, the gang had met up with Archmage Rilla, a friend from another timeline that none of you experienced, and kind of got a heads up that she is the architect, and kind of engineered the start, developed the technology, however you want to say it, that led to the creation of the God Machine, because her little pet project, once, you know, suborned by the Exarchs and Seers, has bloomed into a terrible monstrosity that will keep everybody's nose to the grindstone, or just enamored with money or pride or power, anything to keep them from elevating themselves and eventually awakening, ascending, peering past the lie, any of that stuff. So we pick up returning back to the caverns of Neokis after a quick little visit over into a chantry that is a plucked out little loop of the end times of the God Machine. Not nearly as much hellfire and brimstone or anything like that, just everything is bad. And her asking and confirming that you all are in on breaking the Pax Arcanum and kind of throwing caution to the wind, at least as far as other Arcmasters are, you know, concerned, to do irreparable damage or absolute destruction of the God Machine before anybody can stop you. But it's going to be a coordinated effort. It's going to require research. So,
the skies belong to me, so the winds won't bother me.
Yeah. with everybody being on board, she continues and explains that the weaknesses that she's aware of after several lifetimes of trying are the various anchor points that the God Machine actually has to the material from whatever other dimension, pocket dimension it exists in, outside of the known universes. It's something that's not in the shadow. It's not in the underworld. It's not in the astral. It's not even in the material. It's someplace else. And yeah, Legba nods, but yeah, that's a pocket dimension. Sure, it's just really, really big. And those anchor points are places where it has influence. Right now, she continues, the God Machine is anchored in place. It's a ship in dry dock. It is secured and isn't doing anything. It is capable of doing things, but it is not complete. It still needs more, and it needs a mind. And she kind of looks over to through stone out towards a jail cell and says, and that thing has to be disposed of. I don't know how, because literally any place we put it, they could get to it. Even throwing it into the abyss, it could be found again. Even taking it down into the depths of the underworld, it could be found. So you have to unmake a rank 6 plus supernal being that the Exarchs work together to make. Or play Eternal hot potato. Or damage it, or... And yeah, so for her, she's like, anchors and destroying those are not difficult, and I've done that in the past. That thing I've never caught, because I don't know what to do with it.
Legba says, if it is challenging to put it in a place where it cannot be reached, have you thought about putting it in a time where it cannot be reached?
Just thought about it. Yeah. I have stolen my own tome out of a time. We would have to do some significant work to put it in a place.
You mean a time?
Correct. That
is the same thing.
But we would need to create a timeline and then cut both ends of it off so that the timeline never began and comes to a terminal end. And that is... Actually, I think technically it is something she is capable of doing, but then there's going to need to be some form of guardians because it still exists. It's still there. Somebody could potentially go get it. So it would be something that would have to be created, set in place, and then all ties to it erased, all memory of it erased, which, and she kind of looks at herself. Looks at all of you, if we are involved in it and we are still here, then we are potentially loose ends.
Yeah, if we erased our own memories, then we wouldn't be able to ensure it's not found.
I'm going to need bigger guns. Go.
Yep. Like this says. So
if we deal with the anchors, is this still a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like this is sort of the problem.
Because they can always start again.
Sure.
Well then, as we not so recently saw, requesting aid of the Supernal to right a wrong that was done, a Supernal wrong, is often a good approach. I have a question for you, Architect. This might seem like selfish, and then he turns to the rest of the coven, blushing a little bit, which may be a little hard to tell in his dark skin, and in the caverns of Niakis, but says, as you know, this has been a pending obsession of mine. He says, is it possible to summon Supernals that aren't associated with your path once you are a seeker?
It's less of a summoning and more of a visiting.
He leans forward a little. I can visit them.
You have visited them. I can them.
Request it. Well, he holds up a finger and he says, and in the manner that a summoning is an entreaty that they come to your home, I can instead request an audience with them in their home.
She nods, she smiles, she's like, that foothold that you placed in the Supernal is the start of the true exploration. The Supernal Realm awaits you out there.
And we all have a beachhead now.
You do. And it is a dangerous thing to step from. But if you go with a plan in mind and avoid the... She would call them traitors that move about there. These are much greater beings. Rather than the aspects and reflections that I think she says path mages use.
She probably said travelers.
Hmm?
She might say travelers.
Well, right? Travelers are arcmasters.
No, those are seekers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yes, travelers, because they travel across the path. You are correct. Yes, that lesser mages, travelers use. You would be speaking with the supernal being, the supernal symbol, and kind of looks at Petrichor and says, "You can go find Storm." The absolute root of it. Converse with it. Experience it, because it is...
Did I not already do that?
She doesn't know.
I see. Yeah, out of character, isn't that the time dog?
The time dog would be an aspect of it. The time dog represents the birth of Storm.
Right. Got it. Okay.
But yes, for Petrichor, she's like, already met him.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Hey, I don't want to burst your bubble. By the way, that beachhead thing was really funny.
Yours was, maybe. But yes, there's no need to summon them anymore. Walk to your Centimani and prepare yourself, and then step out and go visit them.
Mm.
It is a very different experience, because one does not simply speak to an avatar. One experiences it.
Does not simply speak to it.
you step into its presence, and it is everything. The landscape, sensations, all the things that you speak with, it is like visiting a Temenos realm, where it is all one entity. Hello, Greg.
Baby.
Where's my mom? Here. He's not here. Okay.
Stuck on Greg Meowth.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get him a little coin for his head.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Good one.
I'm gonna be real. You chose this name.
For scratch card, you also get one Toy Story 2 reference after you cashed out.
All right, fair enough.
Yes, so you do get to experience a supernal being, and the knowledge that one can gather from that, the favors that one can exchange with them, is something far beyond the boons of the aspects that are summoned here.
Like a really big gun.
She smiles. You can go meet Gun. I'm just imagining Petrichor walking in and just seeing like a really sleek futuristic laser rifle and just being like, "What have you done?" No, it's a cricket from Men in Black, right? This little dinky thing. What have you done? Bang! Oh, okay. Hang on. Maybe I spoke too soon. Anyways, yes.
I bet it'd be like the revolver that the Saint of All Killers has in Preacher.
Yeah.
Shooting down helicopters and things.
But yeah, more on topic.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the gun devil.
So yes, we can seek allies amongst them. Many of them are capable and incentivized to work against the Exarchs, but they themselves are fighting their own war in heaven, so to speak, with the Exarchs, because the Exarchs continue a war to subjugate that which is not already subjugated.
So the Exarchs are actually entities?
There. Mm-hmm. Far more than the 10 that are worshipped predominantly.
I see.
Their names changed, their faces changed. As far as I can see. Right? Yeah. As far as I can see, they're and she kind of looks over at Max and is like, we were taught that oracles and Exarchs climbed a ladder together and then the Exarchs tore it down and there was 10 Exarchs, 5 oracles, and no, I think there were far, far more Exarchs than just 10.
That's troubling.
But they fight amongst themselves just as much as they fight against us.
All right, we'll have to figure out what to do with this entity, but I think there are beginnings of ideas of things that we might pursue individually.
She nods and she says, that is my hope, that by working together, we can do much more than I've ever done by myself, even using somebody help me. Okamata. Yeah, that's them. Other selves besides my other selves, enabling imperial magics at numerous points, and kind of looks and nods at like the end times to strike destructive or disabling blow.
And please tell us, is Anchors, are they merely raw connection? Is there some unique aspect of how the God Machine is connected? The various ephemeral realms?
They're anchored perhaps exactly where one might expect. Points of tyranny and strife. The astral, you can imagine very much of where they are located. The shadow.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like the size. I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
No, you're
just
good.
Trying to offer some color to his response to, I've already been there.
Yep. The shadow are fewer in number, but definitely stronger. Places where some of the greater beings have bent the knee in creating an inroad to the God Machine's influence in the shadow. And the underworld, it is all over the dead domains, which for all of you probably means nothing because you guys haven't delved into there. But the
deepest, like, went on a trip with,
yeah, but with
Baba Sarah.
I don't think you guys ever went that deep. From my memory, you guys had basically been to like river towns and those upper levels and not journeyed down to the Styx or any of the other rivers.
It was, I think, a part of like the long time skip when Bobasir was like venturing for a while and we had declared that Legba went. So, but I don't know the details. So.
Yeah.
No, we didn't do any deep exploration. It was all sort of surface level.
Okay.
Trying to map the underworld to Riverdian Gates.
Ah, that's right. I remember that now. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. And for on my end, it'll be fun because we're going to let loose Arcmaster Solace of Darkness into the deep domains and being like, her daemon is just going to go nuts, be like, we could have been doing this entire time. we could have made a nice one. It would have been really nice. I would have been nice to all the ghosts out here, I swear.
Now you want to do the cool thing, huh?
Right.
Because you got to save the world.
But there are many anchors in those various domains that are tied to subjugating ghosts into service. I know one is ruled by Orcus and is a forge of ghostly power, turning ghosts into weapons.
I think Petra Quarry like goes to be impressed by that and then like looks at
it's like, oh, wait.
Like
It's one of those you gotta admire the idea but still be mad that it exists.
The artistry is impressive, but
I think Petra Quarry moves to like start breaking up the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Craig had said that Solace wanted to talk to Petrichor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big thing being is that I was like, hang on, what order am I doing this in? The architect asks you all if she can place an iris to her golden road here within the caverns that will be safe so that you all may access her golden road indirectly rather than connecting your golden roads. She kind of college professor drops like this casual knowledge of making irises and connecting these things because, you know, y'all have been Arcmasters for, you know, 3 months.
We maybe thought less. That though. Come on now.
Yeah.
I figured that out.
Yeah. But that way you all have access if there are other agents. And she's like, I have places to sustain mortals within my golden road. And they will actually be able to physically enter rather than leaving their bodies soulless while they visit. Is this acceptable? It's in a lot of head nods. Yeah,
I would basically defer to Legba because
yeah, same.
It's your
Legba is the door warden, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
He says yes.
Very well. And then she sits and begins to meditate very much because like, and I think Jesse had the right idea of like, the meeting is like, these are the things we have to deal with. We need to get allies. And she has presented information. She's going to leave a way for you all to reach out to her and find her because somebody stepping onto your golden road, you know it.
Yeah.
And with the ability to appear in your golden road immediately, you know, just walking to the golden road. Okay, I'm here. She can show up as soon as she's available, right? So she sits and meditates and starts to increase her connection here in a very mundane kind of way. She's not relying on magic to just snap her fingers and have the connection because then the spell goes away and she loses the connection. Not great for the iris. But yeah, we can definitely have the meeting kind of move. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ralph. You got something there?
Yeah, he was going to say something to the architect. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be private, but if people start, he's just going to say this to her. So in the sense that not everyone has to stick around to be an audience for it, but as the meeting is breaking up, he's going to linger briefly to ask her something. And he's going to say, architect, he says, I doubt it will come as any surprise to you. No, I doubt it will come as much surprise to you that there are many things I wish to speak with you about, and there is little time to do it. I wish to maintain a connection with you so that I can converse with you at a distance. Would you permit this?
Yes, though I will warn you, when either of us are on our golden road, it will not work.
I believe there might be a way to circumvent that.
Sit with me. Go ahead.
Cool. And I'll wait. Actually, let's have a long conversation after that could be happening meanwhile while the action shifts to.
Yep.
Cool. Perfect.
Yeah. So Legba sits to try and figure out how to bypass the Golden Road issue, because it's an issue for all of you. Because if any of you are off on the Golden Road, or Legba is off the Golden Road, that telepathy that has been a very useful tool for all of you pops out of existence. Because when you're on the Golden Road, things outside of it do not affect you, and you cannot affect the outside world. So when you leave, anything that is an ongoing effect on you isn't going to affect anybody else. So telepathy, Purgatory Bluffs, Creole pigeon language that everybody just manages to get along, that just goes out, and everybody is like, wow, this is a lot more difficult today for some reason. Why are we not communicating? Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Solace in Darkness and Petrigor have a shared problem as Arcmasters. And you two can set the scene wherever you would like.
Just as we're walking away.
Yeah.
Solace will tap your shoulder. Have you spoken to Jules about all of this? Like, our change in perspective?
I think I've touched on it.
I'm struggling a little bit with it feels like I was living in a mansion, and then I moved into an actual mansion and realized I'd been living in a sandcastle the whole time.
Mm.
And I'm kind of struggling with that because Catherine's still in the sandcastle.
I do feel for you. You had finally gotten on the same level, and now you've left her behind again.
It hurts when you say it like that, but it's not inaccurate.
I don't mean it as judgment.
No, I know, but it's the reality.
Perhaps I should say you have increased the distance.
Yeah. I'm having trouble with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How do I maintain, for lack of a better word, mundane relationship when I can walk in the astral or walk in the supernal?
If you, I don't know that I have an answer for you, but
you haven't thought about that at all? Not an issue for you?
No. I am what I should be. And the trials and tribulations that come with that are just those set on the road before me. I don't plan to sequester myself in the supernal. I don't plan to abandon the material, my life, my children, my husband. But it is a new step.
Okay.
You know, my life since the day that I left my home in Mexico has been a series of moments where I should have died and didn't. I think it's just let me keep a perspective of being grateful for everything that I have.
It makes sense. And I am. I have that feeling. It's just the world seems a little more gray now than it used to. Do you know what I mean?
No.
No?
No. It is deeper and more rich and more beautiful and more packed with the life that the Lord has put in it. Pallid flesh of the grave, I think, tints your perspective, as does the vibrancy of the primal wild does mine.
And maybe that's it. I always thought that you need to honor transitions, and part of honoring those transitions is letting go of what was before. Not in a pretend it never happened sort of sense, but is acknowledging that it's that part is done now and it's time to focus on something new. Maybe that's where I'm struggling.
Who says the new can't involve your family?
I would feel really irresponsible to take Volosia to Golden Road, for example.
I don't think that's what I was suggesting. Yeah. I would also suggest that you not do that.
Yes.
I don't know that we'll have a sort of family outing to the Supernal Wild for a hunting trip.
I mean, never mind. That's down that road.
I don't relish the thought of blasting another abyssal out of your daughter's soul either. So.
Okay.
I hope that this has helped put a new perspective in your mind, but
I'll try to focus on the gratitude.
I mean, my other suggestion would just be to talk to your wife about this. You struggled for so long not being able to talk to her, and you can talk to her about this. She will understand.
You know, that's true.
She won't forget that you told her that you have a new level of magic.
She can go to your golden road.
Yeah. I guess that was a behavior I'd fallen into, that there were things that I couldn't share anymore. But that's not true. Yeah. It's not the same. Thanks. This has been...
Besides, she's a key component of our defense
against Rilla
right now.
yes. Thank you. This has been a helpful perspective to share.
Now, do give everyone my blessings. I'm off to Boston.
I'm going to be spending
some time. Slams wings and is gone.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Ash, your reaction there. You heard the song playing in your head too, right? Yeah, okay.
What's up? I can go into Boston.
Shipping out to Boston?
Yeah.
No, the Augustana.
Oh, I don't know that one. I was thinking Dropkick Murphys. It's
just named Boston. Well, no, it literally has the line, I think I'm going to Boston in it.
I see.
No, I was a Dropkick Murphys, so yeah.
Yeah. I won't sing that one.
very good. Jumping back over to Ligba and Archimage Rilla, what was your plan, just out of character, to maintain some kind of communication here?
Of course. Tell you what I'm thinking. We, as always, right, talk through the realities of that based on the mechanics and the fiction, and then we role play how the two mm-hmm. characters might come to an understanding of that. So one thing I was hoping for when Legba came up with the barks mm-hmm. is that that's something that could be sustained and facilitate something in real time. And he didn't have the time or opportunity to explore that as much because he has so many different things he's working on, right? But there also was an intrinsic limitation that he realized in the course of his second awakening. So when he was trying to affect the tailor's shop in mm-hmm. the Temenotic representation of Purgatory Bluff, and it just didn't take, and it didn't have the effect he wanted, right? And then he awakened again and he came back and he realized what the limitation was, right? Like the imperial practices are what's required. He needed to do something different. He needs a dynamic effect at least in order to accomplish this. And the simple way is this. And what he's realized is if your golden rule is permanently connected to the astral, the irises are not something you can eliminate. It means that there is constant connection with the astral. As Legba has experienced over the course of many, many years, right? You can maintain a relationship between your mind and the astral, regardless of where you are. It's possible with a spell for somebody to do this, and he's made it a part of his soul to be constantly in the astral and in the phenomenological, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning that he can be a facilitator of communication. He can directly perceive what's happening in two realms at the same time. And if he wanted, he could be an intermediary. So what he's thinking about is you just need a beacon. You just need a mediator. You need a router. Yes, exactly. Well, exactly, Greg. Yeah.
What did Greg say? I missed it.
A cup and a string.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, two cups.
That's all you need. Because we all have a tie to the astral at all times. Now, he understands this might only work between archmages. But that's where he's willing to start, right? If there's a way that he could make this work with travelers as well, that'd be great, right? But what he imagines is because we all have a connection to the astral at all times that is indelible, always in our golden world, we can't cast spells, but that doesn't mean that information can't go through, that connection doesn't go through. And so he's thinking that perhaps with the assistance and, you know, the conversation with another archmage who understands the nature of the irises between the golden rule and the astral, that he might be able to use his rank 6 of mind to create some way to funnel information through connection, which is all it really is, right? Mm-hmm. To him. So that even if it's not active conversation that's happening, even if there's a slight delay, it might be functionally the same as a telegram going back and forth, which is much more useful, which would be great in certain situations, instead of just constantly having to go back and forth between the golden rule to talk to somebody. If we just need to give somebody an update and they're in their golden road, we can send a pulse and it goes right through and gets to them, because it'll be something traveling onto the golden rule that then reaches them.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to dig into Imperial Mysteries a little bit more to double check, but I like the idea of literal messengers moving between golden roads and leaving messages, a little armada of astral puppies
yes.
Jumping between your guys' iris, golden roads and bringing goetic messenger. We'll put a little, what is it, little bellhop, little hat on them, a little bow tie, and they can, you know, deliver messages, or rather leave messages waiting for somebody to show up. So yeah, you jump onto your golden road and you have a row of dogs all ready to give you messages. It's just like when you look at your phone and you realize you missed a bunch of calls and you have a bunch of voicemails. Like, okay, let me just go to the last one, because all these are precisely probably, I could see that working. So I want to look over some stuff for some of the rules of the irises, but we'll
doesn't have to be this session. Legba wanted to mention to her as soon as possible to set the stage for the story involving that kind of thing happening.
No, I totally dig the idea. And for Rilla, she's never needed to coordinate with other Arcmasters before. So yeah, for her, she's like, okay, hang on. This is not, maybe that does work. And so you have this little conversation in the cave of like, but wait. So yeah, I like that.
Cool. And they could even take the form of little St. Bernard puppies, a little like, you know, barrel around the neck.
Yeah. Little messages in their barrel.
Yeah.
The worst fortune cookie. Just open this barrel up. I don't even have a cookie to eat. It's just, okay. I'm going to take, based off of Jesse's departure, Petrichor's departure. Jesse's still here. That we'll probably pick up with Petrichor in Boston, probably in a vignette. But we may circle back around to do setup for that. What is Max and Solace in Darkness up to?
Max's next plan is to try to make inroads with the folks back in her old consilium. And anyone else they might have connections to.
Okay.
This is so good.
Because as everyone else is, you have your own connections elsewhere. I know these guys. Again, you don't have to like the people you're going to war with. So yeah, my plan is to head to New York and probably make contact with Eggrock first, just because she's been here. She's one of the better ones.
Yep. And she didn't cause, issues with y'all. Oh, I knew there was something I needed to do before Rilla started, figuring out the iris. So she does talk with y'all real quick about the other Arcmasters that are out there. This is relevant for Max. But yes, I'm going to skim over the narrative. That way we don't spend too much time on it, because out of game, you guys can just go read up more on them in the book. But yeah, she mentions that there are some folks who would potentially help us with Legba's talk of the supernal beings. She mentions that there are the alienated, the priests of the true gods, who basically find themselves in service to supernal beings. Often the bound, who were thrown out of the supernal down to the material, and trying to figure out ways to send them back up. Because if they were kicked out of the supernal, then they're probably not fans of the Exarchs, and the Exarchs have a vested interest in keeping them bound. So that is potential allies. Also, shout out to the book for calling out that the Silver Ladder Archmasters almost never joined this entente. Yeah.
You cut out.
Oh, yeah. Silver Ladder Archmasters almost never joined this entente because, you know, we are gods. Not them. Anyways.
Well, they're often exemplars anyway.
Correct.
We're trying to.
You're spoiling. Yeah, but no. You are absolutely correct. There's the Aswadim who we don't work with them. They're the ones who somehow ascended or had a second awakening and then decided that, nah, let's just burn it all. Well, actually, they don't even necessarily think that they want to burn it all so much as they're so deep into their own desires that they have lost all humanity.
Don't they also think that that the way to ascend is through the abyss?
So
they're trying to bring everything down with them into it.
Technically, was
right. Their whole idea is to break bonds. They promote hypocrisy. Their ideal is the nightmare curse, which is victims either awaken to the abyss and just straight into being Skelesti and potentially possessed, or spread that potential as, yeah, so they're bad. Where is this? Here we go. A nation under Aswadim stewardship soaks in collective pain, but suffering is only a side effect. The Dark Ones aren't sadists. They're just too rigid to bend to the truth. We break. Yeah. Not great. On the flip side, we have the Bodhisattvas. Shout out to our girl Atratus, because this is totally her. I'm never going to ascend. I'm just going to help everybody else do it. I'm never going to leave this world. I'm going to stay here forever. And I'm, you know, being, you know, light about it. But they are kind of badass in that regards. You have some of these folks who are thousands and thousands of years old because they just like, no, I'm going to be here. I'm going to try to make people better. And they frequently jump back into worldly life and live a normal life as a mage who just seems really talented and really encourages people to live their best. And then they do what they can living a normal life, and then they do it again and do it again and do it again. Very much leaning into the rebirth ideal. And then, as Lugba pointed out, the exemplars, these are the archmasters of the order who the order themselves shun because they're like, no, we're not falling for archmastery trickery, we're not falling for that, we're not getting behind whatever shenanigans you're up to. So they tend to be a little light touch kind of stuff. And they are very focused in on their orders as opposed to, you know, a big diamond order exemplar don't really exist. It's going to be, you know, an adamantine arrow or a silver ladder or, you know, stuff like that. And then of course, the Sita, who are the ones who are just, I guess they're kind of neutral. They're just focused in on the raw arcana itself. They're kind of super nerds in that regard. But they basically give themselves... where's our example here? A death Sita would bring the peace of the slain more easily and quickly, but know that somebody who is really pro-life would want to fight about it. They consider that they have a lot of responsibilities, and so they kind of delegate it to earthly magics. They try and push the life of an arcana which is kind of interesting. And then, of course, Tetrarchs, who served the lie and are seers. And there are those who claim the title of Tetrarch without being Arcmasters. But that's really hard for travelers, normal mages, to be like, I don't think you're an Arcmaster. Come duel me.
Prove it.
It doesn't work out very well.
What if they're put in that position? Even worse.
Yep. Yeah. So, yes, she does kind of run down that as suggestions for potential allies or people to avoid as you guys go about your journey. So, yes, Petrichor heads off to Boston because there's a Grecian lightning thrower who needs a buddy. And boy, is Petrichor the buddy that she needs. I can't remember her name.
Actually, historically close friends about to happen.
Correct. Because I wrote it down. Nalita. Yeah, the Adamantine arrow. And then we have Max. How are you traveling, by the way, to New York?
Is it a problem if you're going east the way the
nope.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I've got space magic and I certainly still have things from my time there.
Mm-hmm. And you probably saw a connection to those to those places. Like you've only been, I mean, you've been gone for a year. Well, at this point, year and a half. Like you probably still have a decent enough connection to teleport into your old home.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yep.
Teleport into your bed. It doesn't matter if somebody's there.
Somebody's in there.
Yeah.
Well, because the thought occurs to me that like Legba is in here having this conversation with Archmage Rilla, and then probably for the first time feels space magic being done in the vicinity and has a like reaction.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, who's all right? Bye.
Oh, that's new. I gotta get used to that.
Yeah. No, used to be you felt space magic and it had to be
dangerous.
Somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody violated the rules.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you technically could teleport. Because you could teleport in safely. They would just also be very, very skilled to land directly in Purgatory Bluff. That's true.
And Legba also means in his mind, in the sense of the violating territory, not bypassing, like
popping right into it instead of outside. And
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which swings us around to Solace in Darkness. Man, the Baba Sarah thing. I'm struggling, but I'll get there.
I think she's having like a Saruman in the Tower moment of, we have work to do.
It's so funny that you've instantly adapted to my new name and you're like, that's your new
original character. Well, and I'm gonna be real. I know. And any time I'm struggling, it's just like Petrichor. Because that name didn't change.
That's fair.
When you posted the message in chat, I was like, cool. Whenever my mouth fails, Petrichor.
I just thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. What is Solace in Darkness up to?
A grand plan is starting with a fortress on the underworld side of Purgatory Bluff.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go talk to Catherine, but okay, sure.
Yeah, I don't know that she has the context to have that conversation yet.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna go work on something.
Yeah.
And then get my head clear. Let my
brain get out.
Yeah, I get it. Solace in Darkness is the magic equivalent of goes and works on the car a minute.
Yes.
Hang on, I need to just step out here and just do a thing, and then
I mean that's where she's done all her best thinking, right? Is when right. she's busy at the forge or
pick up the hammer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, and I think we really want to beef up the Guardian Geist.
Sure. Yeah, you also may want to double check in on their alignment. Primarily, like, they have always been friendly with you, but their job is to keep ghosts from coming up out of the underworld. Anything besides that, they've never had any, like, motivation to do. And they're, you know, I almost said devolved. They're different enough from who they were at death that, you know, they are this underworld stereotype, this icon, right? That also might be one of those little, oh yeah, let's put that in the back pocket of, you know, making sure that they are allied to the Coven, Purgatory Bluff, something, instead of being, yeah. you know, in the employ of the underworld, because yes. technically that's kind of their thing. And yeah, I like that. Actually, then we may pause here as everybody mm-hmm. is splitting out to do their things. And when we pick up, we will jump back into some vignettes. Get some of these
set up. Awesome.
Hmm? Oh, we can definitely do that's true. We can do a little, yeah, we have the time. I was just gonna leave it for when everybody when we're doing vignette stuff, so we can really have everybody's start Egg Rock.
Sure.
Nalita. The underworld. And I don't know where yeah, just to set us up, where is Legba going first?
We're going first after he's, you know, established that we can leave messages for each other.
Yeah, figure out some form of communication. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, you know, that will take time, right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't assume it needs to be an Imperial spell. So The first thing he'll do is he'll follow through with the thing I posted in Legba's Imperial Investigations, and he'll create collars for the dogs, because he's going to set the dogs to go sniffing around for things in the material that are useful, and give them the ability to escape danger, because he's going to be giving them a quest, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be asking them if they want names, and then giving and trying to find out what names they want, so that they're then going on a quest and giving them collars of protection so that they can evade detection. And then they could escape if they need to. But the first place he's going to go is he's going to go to, let's see, what has it been talked about?
Broadly
now?
Speaking, are we heading into the astral, or are you heading into the supernal?
Supernal. Got to go supernal first. Yep.
Cool.
Got to figure out what we're going to do with Heartache. Yep. So, yeah.
Okay. Good stuff.
Been a problem since the first time he saw it. Now is a potential solution. He needs to investigate that first.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't want to reveal too much. I mean, everybody here knows about the doggy collars, but we'll also delve into that on
awesome
on the Ralph episode.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yep. So we will call this one a little short. We may, by the magic of editing, we may combine these episodes, or maybe release them real fast. Actually,
splice them in together.
Yeah, because the other one's already made, so then I have to like unmake it. And so these might just go as a two part finale, and we'll release them on like Wednesday. And I think this will be the end of the Arc Master intro arc, and we might start posting some videos, which only is really exciting for us because y'all over there in YouTube land have already been watching those. But you do know that that means, yeah, that's right, you're gonna pause, and when you pick up again, we're gonna be watching these folks, and I'm literally going to be letting them just go fucking wild because there are arc masters. Excited. And this first vignette, which I don't know, these are probably going to be like multi-episode vignettes. So y'all are gonna have some downtime yourselves. I will also, as well, actually, you know what? Let me sign off, and I don't want to reveal all my secrets to the YouTube people. So thank you for joining us. as I don't know, there was something in this coffee. Amanda made homemade vanilla, and she did that with vodka, and now I'm starting to wonder. Anyways, thank you all for joining us. Sorry about this short episode, but hopefully it being combined with the last episode makes you feel like you got your money's worth. Speaking of money, www.staylucky.club, absolutely not required. Nobody's really asking, other than some folks had suggested way back when that they wanted to support us financially, so we created a Patreon. If you want to do it, that's great. If you don't, that's totally cool. Feel no obligation whatsoever. Just share, like, subscribe, talk about it. Come by our Discord, www.yeetinto.space, and chat with us. Chat with other fans of the show. It's always a blast, by the way. I know this is like way into our, you know, series, I guess. Yeah. This is a deep episode. But you know,
6 years deep into the podcast. Yeah.
But if for some reason you're just watching this one, and you're just now hearing this, please come by Discord and tell us about the episode that you just watched and what was cool about it and what you thought about it and why didn't they do XYZ. And we'll tell you. You just might have to remind us, wait, what did we do in that episode?
What was going on?
Because somebody brought something up.
The briefest hint of a context clue is right. Always good.
It was like
an episode 53 of The Rookery. It's like, y'all, that's been...
We don't talk about how long that it's been. somebody brought something up about why did Songbird do something to Jimmy? And I was just like, oh, you're going to have to remind me.
Which time?
Like, listen.
Yeah.
Songbird and Jimmy had this back and forth thing for a while. So, which time? What was Jimmy doing? And why did he totally deserve what happened to him?
Yeah. I really love when people come to the series, like, after so long, because we get to relive it through them.
Correct. Exactly. It is so much fun. It's just like when somebody says, hey, I picked up this book. And you're like, I loved that book. Tell me everything. As you read it, what are you thinking is going to happen next? And I'm just going to laugh gleefully, whether you're right or wrong, just because I also remember wondering, huh, I wonder what happens next. So
I see you on Discord.
Yes. Come by on Discord. Tell us about it. And also, you know, YouTube comments. If you've made it this far and there's not another episode loaded up, tell us what you think is going to happen next. If there is another episode, don't bother. Just jump onto the next episode and go find out. You can do both. Yeah, that's true. Call your shots. All right. See y'all.
Adios.